sea. A ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand. Angry winds around it blow. All aboard were filled with fright as the mighty billows roll. And then they called upon the one who the winds and waves control. When he reaches out his hand, the billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey. He's the one who once sails with me. He's the master of the sea. Though the storms of life may rage and the billows round you roll, he can calm life's troubled sea as he did in days of old. As upon life's sea you sail, trust in him who never fails. I'm so glad he sails with me, 'cause he's the master of my sea. When he reaches out his hand, the billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. Though the storms of life may rage and the billows round you roll, he can calm life's troubled sea as he did in days of old. As upon life's sea you sail, trust in him who never fails. And I'm so glad he sails with me, 'cause he's the master of my sea. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, they all did say, that the winds and seas obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea.
Thank you so much, musicians, singers. Hallelujah. Get your Bible. We're turning to the book of Acts, chapter 2 tonight. The book of Acts, chapter 2. What a chapter. I love the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. I'll lower my voice if you'll help me a little bit and try to talk lighter and save my voice a little bit. Amen. The book of Acts, chapter 2. I love dealing with Pentecost. I love dealing with Pentecost. I am glad I'm a Pentecostal. I believe I can say I'm Pentecostal to the bone. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm Pentecostal. I'm glad I have this wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't want to survive without it. I wouldn't even want to try. Amen. Acts 2, verse 1. I want to preach tonight on Pentecost and fire. Pentecost and fire. Now, I'm not preaching about it. I'm preaching for you that you can have it. That God wants you to be full of fire. That God wants you to be full of fire. He wants every person standing or sitting in this sanctuary full of fire. That's what God wants. You don't have to ask him, can I help the Holy Ghost? That's already settled. That's already set. God wants you to be full of the Holy Ghost. The book of Acts 2 and 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Fully come. Did you know the Church of God, when it started in Tennessee, it had an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in 1906. But they had been meeting for 20 years praying for God to intervene and to visit them. 20 years. You'll never find a great revival that wasn't preceded by normally many years of crying out to God. Some of you get discouraged because we've talked so much about a sovereign awakening, and it seems like it's so slow to come. Please get that doubt out of your head, out of your heart, and understand that any great move of God doesn't happen accidentally. Doesn't happen because somebody even loves God. It happens because a group of people begin to cry out in unison. They begin to cry out in burden. They begin to unite their heart around one idea. And that idea was a sovereign move of God. When the group does that, they don't care who gets the credit. They don't care who's out front. They don't care who's the one who gets hailed as one of the beginners or people behind this. They just want God. How many of you can say, I just want God? I just want God. I just want a sovereign move of God. I want fire. I want fire. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, the day had arrived. The day had arrived. They were all with one accord in one place. One accord. Nothing moved nobody but the promise of Jesus. Nothing stirred nobody but the promise of Jesus. Nothing was on nobody's mind and heart but what Jesus had said he was going to do. They was in one accord. And even one mind. I mean, they refused to let their mind dwell on their differences among themselves. Oh, they'd been petty. They'd been petty. Two of them had their mama to go to Jesus and beg him for first place in the kingdom. They wanted to be out front, man. She wanted her boys there to be top of the crowd. That was pettiness. But it was gone now. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. 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 And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. Like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. This baptism came with fire, folks. This baptism came with fire. This baptism never comes except with fire. This baptism will never be less than fire. This baptism will never be less than fire. Somebody say praise the Lord, please. Never. Came with fire. Came with fire. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. It was apparently, we don't know the exact detail of it, but it was apparently sitting upon their shoulder. Sitting upon their shoulder. So there was evident there was fire in the place. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I can read on, but you got the picture. God's Holy Ghost is a baptism of fire. Fire set upon each of them. John the Baptist had said that would happen. He said, Jesus will fill you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And with fire. Now, one more scripture that we should read in the book of Hebrews. Then we're going to go to Ephesians, and that will be a place of our text tonight. But the book of Hebrews, look at verse 7. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers, and he isn't just talking about preachers, but he certainly is including us, and his ministers. Notice this now. This is Paul, and he says these exact words, and his ministers, a flame of fire. Not just ministers with fire, but ministers who are a flame of fire. I like that, don't you? A flame of fire. They are anointed with fire. They are unctionized with fire. They are men, women of fire. God's people, God's ministers, God's servants. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Help us to understand that New Testament Christianity is never without Holy Ghost fire. That New Testament Christianity is a fiery experience, an anointed experience, a Holy Ghost experience. Not just emotion. But something bigger than emotion. And that's the fire of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. Grant, Father, that we shall leave here tonight with an absolute hunger to be filled with fire. You may be seated. The book of Ephesians is a picture of the New Testament church. We're going to specifically use that as our text tonight. And I like to preach the Bible. I like to just get in the scripture and take it verse by verse and see what the Lord is saying. But let me begin by reminding you that never has there been a Holy Ghost revival. Never has there been a revival that wasn't anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter if it's in a Presbyterian church, up at the colleges where it has happened at numerous times, some of the present colleges that are as liberal as they can get today were at one time places of revival. Harvard University was begun to train ministers in the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a Bible-centered institution. It was for the specific reason of training ministers, training preachers of the word. Oh, I have testimonies in my files of great revivals at universities, or the revival of John Wesley. The disciples with John Wesley were in a university, and they were praying for God to visit them and move upon them. God moved in that university and birthed the Methodist Church full of the Holy Ghost and a mighty institution for God. Right out of an England university, a Holy Ghost revival sprang forth. And you can find it all through church history. Always associated with fiery preaching and fiery singing and fiery testimonies and a moving of the Holy Ghost. I love recently, I was reading of a man who was fighting, speaking in tongues, and the move of the Holy Ghost. And John Wesley wrote him a note and sent it to him and said, you're speaking out against the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And I want to write and tell you that I'm in favor of it. And we've got it going on around us here in our fellowship. People speaking in tongues and full of the Holy Ghost. One of the great revivals I read about with Dwight L. Moody was in a university in Europe. And they told things about how people were speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost was being poured out. Was actually held in what was known then as a men's fellowship. I forget the call to them. They still have them, but they have none of God around them. And he was having this with that group. And they were having a Holy Ghost move. I want to tell you something. Holy Ghost fire is still real. I said Holy Ghost fire is still real. I said Holy Ghost fire is still real. And you've got a pastor right here standing in front of you that's got a hunger that I cannot describe for a Holy Ghost outpouring, a Holy Ghost baptism, a Holy Ghost move like I've never seen in my life. I'm aching for it. I'm throbbing for it. But I'm praying for it with all my heart. And I believe it's coming. Now go with me. Let's take a look at Ephesians. Here is a picture of his church. Paul writing to the Ephesians, describing what God intends for the church. Very plain. In whom we have boldness. This is verse 12. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let me let you find it. Ephesians 3 and verse 12. I want you to read it with me. I want you to become hungry for it. I want you to, when I finish preaching, have a throbbing for God to do this in me, in you, every one of us. Pentecostal fire, Pentecostal anointing, the moving of the Holy Ghost, in whom we have boldness and access, entrance with confidence by the faith of him. In whom we have boldness with confidence that by the faith of him, we can enter right in to this realm of spiritual blessing. We can enter right in to this realm of Holy Ghost fire, of Holy Ghost anointing, by faith, confidence in him. You can have it. It's as much for you as it is for me. You can have it. You can have it. Did you hear me? You can have it. In whom we have access, or boldness, with access. Boldness to just enter in. Well, I could fill every one of you tonight with a boldness to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to have the fire of the Holy Ghost. By the grace of God, I'm going to enter into that realm where God is visited, where God is manifested, where God is making himself known. If I could convince you that you have the right, but you must have boldness. It won't come if you're whippy. It won't come if you're kind of shaky. It won't come if you're scared of it. It won't come if you're just not sure about it. It even won't come if you're not hungry for it. With boldness, enter into the confidence. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation, for you which is your glory. See, Paul was going through hell. Have you ever considered what Apostle Paul went through to bring revival to the many places he brought revival? He tells of how many times he was whipped. He tells of how many times he was in shipwreck. He tells of how many times he was hungry. He tells of how many times he fasted and prayed. Fasted and prayed. He tells of how he was given over to this. You know how many times he was beat. I just cannot imagine what he must have felt like when they beat him as they did. And then would throw him in jail in stocks and bonds. He couldn't even nurse his wounds. And he said, You know the tribulation I'm going through for you. I'm going through it because I'm burdened for you. I'm going through it because I care about you. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now listen, we're on our way that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened, to be full of power, to be strengthened, to be full of anointing, to be full of unction, to have the fire of the Holy Ghost upon you. That He would grant you to be strengthened. Do you hear what I'm reading? That He would grant you, according to His riches, to be strengthened of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Now notice this, in the inner man. Oh, come on now, Brother Chambers. What's he saying? He is saying, I want the real you on the inside. I want the real you that nobody can see but me and but you and God. That nobody can know but you and God. I want you to be strengthened by the Spirit of the inner man. I want this moving of God to get a hold of you and to get in you and to begin to flow through you and to mightily baptize you and to mightily anoint you until you'll become a strength for God. You know something? When a person is full of the Holy Ghost, everybody's going to see it. Are you listening to me? Brother Charles up there? You know, Brother Charles, from experience, when somebody gets full of the Holy Ghost, everybody is going to see it. You come in here next Sunday, and you prayed several days, and prayed until you prayed through, and the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and the Holy Ghost has anointed you on the inside with a special anointing, and everybody's going to say, what's happened to him? Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, I'm hungry for that. I want you to say it about me. I want God to so transform me and make me into a new vessel for His glory. Oh, I thank God for these 9 weeks I've had of sickness. They've made me know that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope is not hope maketh not ashamed, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah. Strengthened with might. Notice that word, with might. That sounds like some big old power to me. How about you, Brother Kenny? That sounds like something overwhelming, Brother Marlon, Brother Dylan. That sounds wonderful. With might. Might. The word, I wish I'd looked that up in the dictionary. But I can just imagine what that word must mean. Something like dynamite. Something like an explosion. Something like a hurricane. Something like a mighty move. Something that just literally turns you upside down. Makes something mighty and anointed out of you. Might by the Spirit. By the Spirit. By the Holy Ghost. In the inner man. Not a big external show. But a big inside dynamo. Oh, there's a lot of difference between a show and a dynamo. Did you know that? A show can just be noise, but a dynamo inside turns things loose. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. That, listen now, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded, somebody say in what? Everybody say that word. How many of you got your Bibles open? Are you even listening to what I'm saying? Are you hearing? We're talking about the Bible. We're talking about what God has for us. We're talking about a Holy Ghost outpouring. We're talking about a Holy Ghost outpouring. I'm telling you, I'm expecting any moment for an explosion to take place inside of me that'll turn me upside down into a dynamo for God. I want to be a flame of fire. I want you to be a flame of fire, Brother Joe. I want you to be a flame of fire, Brother Danny. I want you to be a flame of fire, Sister Lisa. I want the fire of the Holy Ghost to set upon us and to anoint us. Somebody raise a right hand and say, do it, Lord, would you? But put it way up high. Do it, Lord. Okay, Sebrae. Holy Clinton, the Hopakai, the hallelujah, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Hallelujah. May be able, listen now, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. Now that is talking about a marvel of spiritual instruction, spiritual revelation, spiritual visitation of all that God is in his height, in his width, in his depth, and in his breadth. I mean, that just puts together everything that God is, and that God wants to fill you with it. God wants to overshadow you with it. God wants to set you on fire with it. God wants to anoint you with Holy Ghost fire with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read that verse again. Read it with me, would you? That ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Hallelujah. To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, church, God is talking about a baptism of fire that leaves you on fire with the very glory of God to the depth of who you are. To the depth of who you are. I mean, God wants to fill you with such unction and such anointing that you are a fireball. That you are a walking, anointed individual. That you are living in the Holy Ghost. Living in the Holy Ghost. I remember some time ago, a minister told another minister, Brother Chambers is like a man who lives in the Spirit, and most of us just walk in and out. But I would rather say, I'm more like one of those who walks in and out, but I want to live in the Spirit. I want to live in the Holy Ghost. Until if I wake up at night, I find myself praying in the Holy Ghost. If I wake up if I'm riding down the road in the automobile, I want prayer to be just possessing me as the glory of God is in that car. Oh, I want to see God do something like this all over this church. Oh, I don't know whether I'm moving some of you or not. Sometimes I think some of you are unmovable. I'm gonna work on it. I'm gonna keep bugging you. I'm going to keep pushing on you. I promise you. And that you may know the love of God, which passive knowledge. That you be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, folks, the fullness of God is that mighty Holy Ghost baptism. And he wants you to have it. It ain't just a bunch of noise either. It isn't just how loud you shout and how far you run. It isn't how much noise you make. It's how much power you exude. How much glory flows out of you. What a countenance of your face. The fire of God. You can't even read the Bible without starting praising and shouting and magnifying God when you get full of his fullness. Anybody here want the fullness of God? Amen. Throw your hand up if you want the fullness of God. Do you really want it? Well, it's yours. You don't have it because you don't want it. No, you don't have it because you don't pay the price. It takes seeking God over and over, hour by hour. How long has it been since you prayed until the Holy Ghost came down on you and you were so overwhelmed with it that you was almost out of your senses? That you couldn't stop speaking in tongues maybe for several hours. Did you know that it hadn't been many years until people would pray and seek the baptism, until they would begin to speak in tongues and become so intoxicated with the Holy Ghost that they had to carry them home? Oh yeah, you read all about it. Just a mighty outpour. I'm telling you, you talk about the fullness of the fire of God. You're talking about something that we've got to learn more about. You're talking about something that's going to bring Holy Ghost visitation. I'm telling you, when we began to experience visitations of the Holy Ghost in this church like God wants to give us, it will reach people that you didn't even know we could reach. Woo! Hallelujah! It's going to happen. It's going to happen, Brother Danny Lawless. Going to happen, Sister Bette. Going to happen. Going to happen, Brother Dylan. It's going to happen, Sister Amy, Brother Joe. It's going to happen. We're going to have a move of God. We're going to see this very scripture manifest. Now unto him that is able. Oh, listen to this. Now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able. Anybody know who's able for this? Anybody know who's able for this? Anybody know that there's only one able for this? There's not two or three different sources. There's not some preacher somewhere who's got it, can come give it to us. Oh, no. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. You know, you would think Paul would have said that he's able to do exceeding, and he would think that that's strong enough. But Paul didn't think that was strong enough. So Paul said exceedingly abundantly. What is that? Putting two adjectives together. What is that, Brother Dylan? Putting two adjectives together, which is not good, not really good English. But Paul wasn't trying to write English. He was writing in probably Hebrew anyway, or maybe Greek. But listen, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. See, adds another word. Exceedingly abundantly above. All that we may ask or think. What? What did he say, Danny? That we may, all above what we may ask or think. Bigger than what we may ask or think. Man, he is wanting to make a fireball out of you. Hallelujah. Until you'll turn that company, they'll probably fire you. But you'll get a better job. Hallelujah. You won't have to work on Wednesday night maybe. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Say those words with me. Everybody. Exceedingly. Abundantly. Above. How many said them? Exceeding abundantly above. What? All that we may ask or think. What? You mean God can do more than I can think? You don't know how big my think area is. But God knows. You don't know how big. I've always had this incredible imagination. Would you agree to that, Judy? Incredible imagination. I mean, I just have a big one. Sometimes it gets so much big that I think I'm crazy myself. I really do. But that's what he said. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we may think or say. Ask or think, I'm sorry. That which we may ask or think. I'm asking for God to come down in this place until the fire trucks come running because somebody calls up and says, Paul Creek is on fire. I see the fires leaping up out of the roof and they come and put water on it and it don't even affect the fire because they can't put out Holy Ghost fire with regular water. Hallelujah. It takes the water of gripes and complaints and fault finding and criticism to put out Holy Ghost fire. But we're going to get to the place that even that won't put it out around here. Hallelujah. That not now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think. You know what? I want everybody to memorize those words for this week. Let's say them together. Let me see it. Open your mouth now. Won't you say it with me? Come on, Sister Lucille. Now unto him. Is anybody saying it? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. Woo. That's New Testament Christianity. That's the church out of the book of Acts chapter 2. That's the church in one accord. One mind. Everything else has dissipated. Gone. One church. One fire. One mind. One thought. Anything in your mind that's not a part of this, Father, I'm asking you to cleanse it out of us. Start with me, Lord. Cleanse it out of me, Lord. Cleanse it out of me, Lord. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Worlds without end. Did you notice how he ends that? He ends it by saying, this is forever. This I'm saying doesn't change. This I'm saying never ends. Until the church age is complete. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask to think. Now he ends it by saying this is for all the way to the end of the church age. It's for us tonight. Amen? Amen. If you agree it's for us tonight, would you stand with me? This is for us tonight. Excluding you, Brother Joe. I understand over there. Now unto him that's able. Now unto him that's able. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, exceeding abundantly, above all that we may ask to think. Great, eh? I'm hungry for this. I'm hungry for Holy Ghost fire. I'm hungry for Holy Ghost fire. I've given you my heart tonight, church. Everything that's in me for his glory, for your family, for your children and grandchildren, sons and daughters, neighbors and working companions, down to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above. Everybody that agrees with me, raise your right hand. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above. Exceeding abundantly above. Can we unite ourselves at this altar? We don't need music tonight. I'll dispense of that. So we can just give ourselves together. Meet me here. Let's stand here together. Let's make a commitment of ourselves that we will pursue what this great scripture has taught us tonight. That we will pursue this abundant visitation. This abundant move. This abundant breakthrough. Come on, visitors. We welcome you. Come right down here with us. You're part of us when you come in here. We care about you. We care about you. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding. I love that.
I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. And he made a way where there was no way that I could see. I drifted far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Now old Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan had moved forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? I knew my destruction was a matter of time, but Jesus appeared, said, "This one is mine." Now I'm safe from all harm, since he walked through the storm, he came looking for me. Oh, yes, he came looking for me. Looking for me, and he made a way where there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, still Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Now old Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan had moved forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? And I knew my destruction was just a matter of time. Oh, but Jesus appeared, said, "This one is mine." Now I'm safe from all harm since he walked through my storm. He came looking for me. Oh, yes, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. And he made a way where there was no way. sea. When I drifted far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, yes, he came looking for me. He came looking for me. And he made a way where there was no way that I could see. And when I drifted far, still Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. And when I drifted far, still Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.